Today we are celebrating Rudy's samadhi, his leaving of the body. In 1973, I believe that's 45 years ago. It's kind of amazing. And in a few minutes, we'll go downstairs and play a movie that we have of Rudy that is such an extraordinary document because it so completely captures who he was, the core of his teaching, the core of his personality, why we're sitting here 45 years later still talking about him, and why the teaching that he offered at that moment in time resonates so completely to this moment. How it is we have uncovered something that I think is often referred to as timeless. Bless you. I was speaking earlier about this idea of shamans to some of the new students and how villages have shamans in old tribal cultures. And of course, not everybody was a shaman or you'd have a crazy village. But New York City had one shaman, maybe a few, but one of them was Rudy. And Rudy was the healer. He was the bringer of higher truth, if you will, knowledge, but more specifically, he brought presence, the actual presence of something greater than what we know and normally experience in the constrictions of manifested form. He opened us up to something that preceded the formation of the world. When you sat with Rudy and you looked into his eyes, bless you, you saw that which preceded manifestation, that preceded existence, that was, in a sense, the essence from which all of this emerges. And one drop of that, one drop, changed our chemistry, changed who we were, changed how we looked at the world, made us, in a sense, addicts of higher consciousness. Once you have had a glimpse of, a taste of, a feel for something that transcends the day-to-day drama of human life, once you've had a glimpse of that, nothing can quite be the same. You can try to go back to the world as it was, but in truth, you are already living in the world that is. Rudy was a doorway to that. We have had doorways in the world from the beginning of mankind. There have been people who have helped elevate us up into a vision of something that is greater than this, and yet this is one with that. Some people, it becomes the foundational element of their lives. For me, that was the truth from the beginning. The minute I discovered how small human life was, how minuscule planetary life was, how much vaster the universe was, and how we were all one with that vastness, from that moment in time, I have become someone trying to share the message that Rudy taught. Sharing it sometimes verbally, more essentially, one-on-one, eye-to-eye, hug-to-hug, voice-to-voice, an experience of being present with something that is above and beyond, and once you touch it, ineffably, wonderfully, perfectly, lovingly, essential to who you are. When you watch the movie of Rudy, you will see this energy at work. It's a foundational energy. It was early on in the game. He had learned his practice and his teaching from a Swami in India named Swami Nityananda, all part of lineages that go back way beyond our recorded history. This lineage of present tense being. And it extrapolates itself into the world, and everyone who touches it becomes a possible carrier of this energy. Everyone in this room has a dollop of this truth inside you, and if you nurture it, and you work with it, and you breathe into it, and you love it, it will take over who you are, and it will become its full expression through you, which is its purpose. It wants to be in the world as a living presence of something greater. It needs its channels. It needs people who allow the energy in and who allow it to connect with other people through the act of conscious expression and mostly through love. Love is the channel. So we celebrate Rudy's samadhi, which is the end of his material life, his moving on to something more, that from which he came, moving on to that which we are all headed, and from which we all came. The one true inevitability of human life is ending of that. We all come to that, and I, who am a little further along than some of you, am starting to face it in ways that are justifications, if you will, for every moment I practiced spiritual life, because it is a culmination that is so remarkable that really plays out at the end of the game. Endings are everything. Endings are where you come face to face with the temporal nature of existence. And it is really that which gives meaning to everything. When it comes to an end, or when you know it comes to an end, it has a poignancy and a vitality and a vibrancy that you may not have witnessed up to that moment. There's a certain synergy in what I'm talking about today, because another ending is occurring. Some of you know it from my other talks. Some of you listen to the talks. A couple of weeks ago, I began to explain to my class in San Rafael what was going on. But so I will share it with you now to bring everything into a kind of circular closure. My son Josh, his wife Evan, my grandchildren Talia and Elijah have bought a house unexpectedly and kind of strangely near Rhinebeck, New York, where Blanche and I lived for 15 years, in a town called Red Hook. Not that I don't love every one of you, but my attachment to my grandchildren, as you probably have picked up, is enormous. And I have already made two moves to be around them, one selling the house in Rhinebeck and moving to Seattle, and where my son moved to San Rafael, and now he's moving back to Red Hook, New York, just next door to Rhinebeck. And so Blanche and I have bought a house in Red Hook. And as I've said on these talks, and for those of you who haven't heard them, forgive me if this is new news, but my accountant said, Bruce, you can no longer in retirement own two homes. So this past Thursday, we met with a realtor, and this house will be on the market starting next week. And that will be an end point for this 35 years that we've had here of sitting on Sunday mornings, occasionally on Wednesday nights. This is the beginning of a new phase. I cannot tell you what that is, other than the fact that this room, this house, this gathering will not continue in this space. I am hoping and praying that the class will continue with some of the teachers who are already in place, who will, if we are lucky, find a place to make this happen. If it continues to happen, and those of you who are still hungry, come I will try to find a way to fly back from New York on occasion and sit with you. But here's the truth. My spiritual life really began when Rudy died. When Rudy left, I had to do it on my own. I followed other teachers, I went to other places, but it was clear to me that he had left me in the one place that I needed to be, which was in charge of my own transformative energy moving on into something else, which continues to be happening. I have documented that journey on talks and on classes here and all on YouTube, and anybody who has the patience and wants to dig through any of that, it's available. The talks are very present tense and very helpful. And if you're going through a hard time and you need teaching, you can look up those hundreds of tapes and find a title that says, oh, that's what I need to listen to, and you can listen to it, and it will speak to you in the same way as though you're sitting right in this room. What will be missing is this eye to eye. Other teachers in this lineage who will continue teaching, if we can find spaces here in LA, and I'm going to ask any one of you who knows of spaces that could work, let us know what will be available, and classes can continue. I will tell you that eye-to-eye experience is vibrant and vital. Looking into another human's eyes and actually making contact, actually seeing the soul of another being and expressing the kind of insight and love that one can have for another is so powerful and so absent in much of our daily life that one of the great gifts of this class is not the knowledge base that comes around it, but the pure experience of seeing and touching the other. And what one realizes in seeing and touching the other is that the other is you. That is the essence of what we're doing. The other is you. If you don't love the other, you don't love yourself. If you love the other, you embrace the totality and you feel an enrichment and an expansion of being that is exquisite and extraordinary and is the gift of human life. Reaching out to the other, true compassion, true understanding, even for those who are really, really painful to be with. Opening to them as deeply as you can and looking into the eyes of the other, not in a kind of confrontational gaze, you know, I can see you. It's like, I see you. I see you. I feel you. I know you. We are this shared human journey. And I will tell you, as you're probably picking up from all my recent classes, the shared human journey is either going to come together with people helping, loving, and supporting one another, or we will be in dire physical and emotional distress. If there's ever a time that we all need one another, this is that time. I will invite you all right this second to come visit in New York. Anytime you feel like it, we have lots of guest rooms. And the house is a smaller, more modest version of any place we've lived, but it is completely accommodating, and it will accommodate you. Finding a way to sustain yourself when your teacher has gone somewhere else is really how this practice must unfold. Because in the end, it's you and God, which in the ultimate sense is and always has been one thing. The only problem in most human lives is people feel separated from their maker. People feel somehow either that there is no maker and have no recognition of it at all, or they feel it's hard to maintain a true connection to it because it takes work and practice. It's a two to tango, takes two to tango reality. This exquisite, I hate to name it God force or love or whatever you want to call it, is in your life at all times. Either you hold hands and do the steps or you don't. I really deeply encourage all of you to start to hear the music, start to feel your partner, start to do the steps that will create the most exquisite ballroom experience amazing to you and to everyone around you. This life begins to be this exquisite, unbelievable dance in which you are lifted into the air and brought to the floor and swung around and just made, in a sense, a partner of something that knows how to dance. It knows what it's doing. And if you can please believe me with this, loves you. It loves you beyond comprehension. And if you can open your heart and love it back, it's an affair. And it goes on forever. Let's say it's a marriage. It's a marriage. And it's so worth the ride. The only problem with this ride, and forgive me for speaking truth, but in the end, it annihilates you. In the end, it burns you to a crisp. There is no two. As long as you walk around in a sense that there is me and it, something has to give. And that giving process is a dying process. It is a burning process. It will burn you into the nothingness that you are. And if you can find a way to experience the grace at the core of that, what you will feel is purposeful, annihilating, burning release. It is not comfortable. It is not comfortable. But I will tell you, if I'm around when you start to experience this thing, I will hold your hand. If I'm not around when you start to experience this, and it will come, especially toward the end, you don't need a physical person. You can reach out to Rudy. You can reach out to me. You can reach out to Bo, who knew Rudy and has his hand all the time. You can reach out to all of these sources in your life and hold on for the comfort of, it's okay. It's okay. Let go. It's okay. That's really the final directive. Let go, it's okay. Or another beautiful word, trust. Trust the journey. Trust this road that we're all on. Nobody that you know or will ever meet in this life is not on that journey. Nobody. They can pretend not to be. They can pretend that buying their new yacht or their or whatever is going to somehow prevent them from having to sail off the edge of the world. It will not. Nothing in the world will prevent you from moving toward the ultimate of this journey. And at that point in time, if you have witnessed totality, if you have touched the ineffable, if you have danced with God, you will find yourself transformed into the transcendent truth of your own being. There's only so many ways I can say this, and I should stop. But let me just add, the love I have been allowed to feel for you is a gift to the Bruce being, but it's also a gift to you. And this love, this energy exchange, these internal hugs will change your chemistry. They will alter your being, and they will make you conduits for exactly what I'm trying to do here. You will each become, to the degree that you are willing, that channel of conscious sharing, compassion, and love that you wish to be. If there has ever been a time in the history of the world that that's needed, I think we are in it. I cannot tell you what's going on around us. I can only tell you that politically, climatologically, digitally, the world is going through something that we have not been through before that doesn't necessarily end well or easily. If that's true, we need people along the way to help the people who are going to be surprised, frightened, or unable to handle the dynamic of change that's arriving. You should be those people. You are those people. The fact that you've come here and have learned what we're talking about makes you conduits for that. You don't have to sit and have a class. You don't have to pontificate. In fact, I hate pontificating as much as I do it. What I really like is people who are kind to one another, who simply help the ones next to them, in front of them. You don't have to have a world body listening to you. It never listens anyway. It has to be shared moment to moment, person to person, body to body. Let people know you're there, you care, and look into their eyes and love the God within. That's what we do. That's who we are. You know, we may be blessed with changes in the world that will all be just, everything will be fine, you know? I mean, that's a great hope. But there are signals around that this is a particularly difficult time. And in difficult times, big hearts are needed. Find your big heart. There's no one in this room who doesn't have one. And share it. Just share it. It will be wonderful for you, and it will be wonderful for everyone around you. When we go downstairs, you'll watch a massive heart at work. You will see why we're sitting here today, because of someone who sat all those years ago and shared his heart. It expresses much of what I'm expressing here, different terminologies, but you'll get it. It's a joyous, beautiful experience to witness Rudy. I will remind those of you who don't know the story that this film was made to honor the arrival of Rudy's teacher, Swami Muktananda, who was a disciple of Swami Nityananda, who was Rudy's guru. Swami Muktananda was another descendant or disciple of Swami Nityananda, and he was in a way like a brother, more or less, to Rudy, although he helped Rudy enormously in a teacherly fashion until a time came where Rudy had to move on. This movie does not document that. Rudy leaving his teacher was his real liberation. Rudy with his teacher was showing us how to be a student, how to be a great student. You're going to witness all of that in about a 20-minute documentary, and if you're not starving and can sit through that, there'll be a big brunch afterward. So thank you guys for coming. I don't know why the class got so big today. I have a feeling it has to do with the samadhi. But these will be the last classes. I don't know how many more we'll have, 1 to 5, depending upon how fast our realtor sells the house. There will also be a lot of giveaways. I have a lot of books to give away. We have stuff to give away. And anybody around who might want or need stuff, We will make that available to you, and if you don't, you know, Goodwill, etc., has ways of taking things. So, again, thank you for coming today. Truly grateful, and we will share this again if and when we can. However it works, please feel free to be here, and you know, please know that whatever this work is, it doesn't end with classes. Thank you.
Is there a class next week?
I'd like to ask people, when you go downstairs, if you want to sit on the floor, bring your pillows with you. And anyone who's in a folding chair, please bring that down as well.
Thank you. Yeah, we need more chairs downstairs to be able to watch the movie.
And whoever sat on the chair in the library should bring it back into the family room.
That'd be helpful. Thank you. Is there class next week?
Yes. Will there be classes until...
Here.
There will be classes on Sunday.
Classes, of course. I'm sorry.
Okay.
That's, there's classes here every week. Please. The teachers here, I can tell you one thing about teachers here who teach here. They have a connection to the core, and they would not be sitting here otherwise. We each have different skills, and we each have different capacities, and we each have different ways of expressing it, but it's all one thing. Learning to open to different teachers is one of the greatest ways to really expand your own capacity as a recipient and ultimately as a sharer of this work. So please continue to come if you want. Every Sunday, 10 o'clock.
And when it's over, then we'll send an email to everybody so they'll know that class is no longer here.
We will try to find other places to conduct classes, and I especially, if I come back once in a while, would need a place to teach. So anyone who has ideas, let me know. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.